Wake up. Wake up, Kentucky.
Wake up. Kentucky is waking. Kentucky is awake. This week, the Committee for Kentucky meets with a joint session of the Kentucky Legislature. You may well applaud. That's progress. That means Kentucky is enlivening to the problems of her education, agriculture, health, the imperative need of a modern constitution. It means that the Committee for Kentucky, a group of private citizens, has rung a rising bell. Hear it? It's a school bell. It's a farm bell. It's the bell of old Kentucky. Men and women, this week, which demonstrates the full-fledged importance of the Committee for Kentucky, is an appropriate season to sum up the committee's brief history, to outline its consolidated gains, to forecast its lengthy future. You remember, or perhaps you don't, how the whole thing began less than 2 years ago in a meeting of businessmen.
1944.
Business is booming in Kentucky.
Best year I've ever had. Yeah, the war's going to be over someday.
Yeah, you're right. This prosperity isn't going to last.
You're darn tootin'.
I'll tell you one thing. Kentucky's prosperity, compared with other states, has been going downhill for the past 50 years.
Yes, but why?
That's what I'd like to know. Why?
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 The slump doesn't depend on business only.
Bad agricultural methods have a lot to do with it.
Fifth-rate education.
Tumble-down housing.
Catch-as-catch-can taxation.
More than average amounts of sickness.
Half-hearted use of our natural resources.
A poor old buggy day constitution.
Why don't we call in the farmers to solve this thing?
That's an idea. And the educators. They can tell us what to do about our schools.
Why don't we go to town and take in the whole state?
Include the social workers. They've been studying this for years.
Like the industrialists.
The women's club.
Negroes.
Labor union.
Newspapers.
Radio.
Have them all in and let's get going. What do we call ourselves?
The Committee for Kentucky.
Mr. Chairman, you have gathered here today representatives of every major field of interest in Kentucky. We all agree that something must be done.
Something will be done.
Something is being done.
What Kentucky needs is facts.
Hear, hear.
Give her the facts. Kentucky can be trusted to act upon them.
How right you are.
Facts.
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 I think we should constitute ourselves primarily a fact-finding body. I recommend the appointment of experts in each of the 10 major fields.
Agriculture.
Education.
Health.
The Kentucky Constitution.
Housing.
Labor and industry.
Development of our natural resources.
Taxation.
Welfare.
Let's have the facts.
They appointed 10 experts, and the experts told them off. They didn't like it, but they listened. And how they listened.
50 years ago, Kentucky led the South in industry.
Today, she is outranked by all but one of the southern states.
A century ago, Kentucky led the West in education.
Today, she is outstripped by nearly the entire Union.
Only two states lose more people proportionately to tuberculosis.
Half our farmers depend on roads a mule can't manage.
Whole counties relying on one aging doctor.
We're losing the energetic quarter of our population.
April 26, 1945. The Committee for Kentucky is legally incorporated.
April 27, 1945. Heads of 8 radio stations in Kentucky meet to pledge support.
May 7, 1945. Wake up, Kentucky takes to the air.
May 25th and 26, 1945. The first conference on rural housing ever held in the United States meets at Lexington under Committee for Kentucky auspices.
June 11, 1945, representatives from the AFL, the CIO, the Railroad Brotherhoods, the United Mine Workers sit down to dinner with the committee to discuss Kentucky's problems.
June 15th, 100,000 green and white pamphlets are distributed giving the facts about the Committee for Kentucky.
By September 1945, 56 organizations have affiliated with the Committee for Kentucky, comprising a total membership of 350,000 Kentuckians. Meanwhile, the first reports roll out, based on the facts. February 14, 1945.
Dean Thomas P. Cooper of the University of Kentucky College of Agriculture.
80% of Kentucky's population is directly or indirectly dependent on her soil. Half this soil is seriously depleted. All but 5% of Kentucky's land stands in need of replenishment. 90% of Kentucky's farm families put up with substandard living. They need agricultural credits, grading and marketing facilities, better homes, better water supplies, better transportation. There is potential income for 14,000 farmers in neglected forests.
October 5th, 1945. Dr. Maurice F.C., Director of the Bureau of School Service of the University of Kentucky, reports on education.
Kentucky ranks 47th in the United States in respect to high school enrollment, length of school term, the number of adults who have finished high school. Low rank is due primarily to neglect of rural children.
October 16th, Dr. John W. Brooker, Director of Public Relations for the Kentucky Educational Association, offers a program of action based on facts.
1. Publicity. By press, by radio, by meetings and motion pictures, publicity.
2. Creation of public opinion in behalf of regular school attendance.
3. Better schools, especially for rural children. Better teaching, larger salaries, longer school terms, health checkups for school children.
November 9th, 1945. Dr. Philip E. Blackerby, State Health Commissioner, reports on Kentucky's health.
Kentucky has the third highest tuberculosis death rate in the nation. Filth-borne diseases kill 800 annually. The average country district has one-fourth of a doctor for every one serving city populations. Kentuckians need a way to buy medicine and pay their doctor's bills. The least you can get by on for public health is a dollar for every person every year. Kentucky is skimping along on less than half of that.
Program of Action by Dr. O.O. Miller.
1. Get our tuberculosis hospitals up as soon as possible. X-ray to prevent further spread of tuberculosis.
2. More stringent sanitary regulations.
3. Periodic health examinations.
4. Survey each county to determine extent of malnutrition.
5. Survey the state as a preliminary to working out a general plan of medical care.
6. Provide scholarships for training doctors for rural areas.
7. Establish health units in every county of the state and give them enough money to go on.
And so we come to January 18th, 1946, and the report on Kentucky's Constitution by Eli Brown III. At a meeting of directors of the Committee for Kentucky last Friday night.
A good Constitution should be plain and certain in its principles, and as far as possible, free of doubt and question. It must be the natural and deliberate expression of the people's thoughts, wishes, and aspirations in government. The manifest fault of the Kentucky Constitution is its wordiness, its number of omissions, its inclusion of quantities of material which should properly have been left to legislation. Judge Cooley, called upon to address the Constitutional Convention of 1889, said, "Don't in your Constitution-making legislate too much. In your Constitution you are tying the hands of the people. Take care to put proper restrictions upon the legislature, but at the same time leave what properly belongs to the field of legislation to the legislature of the future. It is right and proper that each department of government should be trusted to perform its legitimate function. You've got to trust somebody in the future." These principles were disregarded. A constitution should affirm general principles, leaving details to legislation. The Kentucky Constitution violates that rule. It would be a rash person who would tie a business down in such a way that 50 years from now only certain things could be done. It would not take a very smart person to say that that business will not last 5 years. Our Constitutional Convention of 1890 not only attempted for years to come to say what could or could not be done, but it laid down the most minute provisions.
You want to cure its faults? A new constitution would
remove obsolete and worn-out sections.
Remove limitations on terms of office, so that when you get a good man, you can keep him.
Overhaul the tax laws. Make possible an adequate workman's compensation law.
Provide a method of amendment not too long, too difficult, too tedious for human patience.
1946, 1947. Other reports will follow. The plans of the Committee for Kentucky are visible in outline, extending over the next 20 years. A long pull, a strong pull is needed, But what other states have succeeded in doing is not beyond Kentuckians. Mr. Harry W. Schachter, president of the Committee for Kentucky, sketches what that outline is to be. Mr. Schachter says,
Kentucky has a tremendous era of achievement ahead of her. Today, a Kentuckian's income is only 59% that of the average American. The Committee for Kentucky is out to do something about it. Four of its factual reports are now in hand. Six more are in preparation. They will be broadcast to you at intervals as completed.
What's the next step, Mr. Schachter?
County committees.
Who's to be on them?
As a nucleus, county agents, county health officers, superintendents of the county schools.
In each county?
In each county.
Then what?
These pivot men will meet in the next few weeks with the Committee for Kentucky. They will go back to their own communities and pick out top men in each of the major fields we've been discussing.
Let's see if I can say them. Wait, now, don't tell me. Agriculture, education, health, housing, natural resources, labor, industry, taxation, welfare. What did it leave out?
Revision of our moldy constitution.
Okay. They pick out 10 leaders from each county. Then what?
That gives each county its little committee for Kentucky. They will act for their separate counties exactly as the state committee does for Kentucky as a whole.
Find facts?
Find facts. Facts about their counties, their various regions, where they're weakest, what their strong points are. Mostly, they'll unearth the worst. Find out what's most in need of doing.
Well, I guess we can stand it if it's going to help.
Kentucky's already standing it. She may be close to the bottom in a lot of ways, but not when it comes to courage.
The fight in the state and the union.
And this is a fight. We're in there to lick our weight in welfare, our lack of education, our bad roads, our soil erosion, our tumble-down tenant housing, our miserable health record. We're in there to win.
Isn't all that going to take a lot of money?
Yes, how much?
What's the ante? Where are we going to get it?
I don't know, scraping up our taxes as it is.
Well, that's one of the facts the Committee for Kentucky wants to know. How much would it cost Kentucky to buy itself good schools, to pay its teachers what they're paid in other states, to build good roads, to restore our land to the fertility it had a century ago? In short, how much will it cost Kentucky to reach the national average?
Shucks, I want to see us go farther than that. I want Kentucky at the top, where she belongs to be.
One thing at a time, my friend, but I admire your spirit.
Well, what are we waiting for?
I warn you, it's a job.
But a job worth doing.
It may take 10 years. It may take 20. It may take the lifetimes of all of us.
Then we better be getting started.
Hey, what about that green and white pamphlet?
I'm glad you mentioned it. It can tell you in detail about the Committee for Kentucky, who the directors and experts are, what problems confront Kentucky, how you can get behind them to do something. Drop a postcard with your name on it to the station you're listening to. You will get a copy of the pamphlet, as many copies as you need. Delegate yourself to talk about it, to distribute it. Be one of the people who are helping us shove Kentucky forward. Prosperity means chances for our children. Means we're fathering a future from which at least a part of the terror has been screened away.
Other reports will deal with labor, industry, taxation, housing, welfare, the development of Kentucky's rich natural resources. Each will be followed by programs of action such as you have heard. It is up to Kentucky to implement the programs. You hear that bell? It's a farm bell. It's a school bell.
Will the class in arithmetic please come forward?
It's a rising bell. It's the bell of old Kentucky. Remember the state motto chosen a century and a half ago.
United we stand.
Divided we fall.
Wake up, Kentucky!
Tune in again at the same time next week for another program in this series.